What's up, guys? This is Mance Chapel, the Monday Night Delight, and you're listening to the Young Lions Perspective only on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
This is the first time in quite some time that an episode of the YLP podcast has started without an intro. Literally the first time in a long time. To all of my old heads in the YLP realm, you all know that if an episode ever starts with no music, no usual intro, that a rant is incoming. I warned all of you on Instagram. I warned all of you on Twitter. And I will warn all of you one last time. If you have any children in the room and you're listening to this on a Bluetooth speaker, I would suggest you keep them as far away as possible from hearing this, because I, Mr. YLP himself, are going to say a lot of things that are quite explicit. A lot of words that are quite vulgar to most people. A lot of things that most people in the wrestling community may not want to hear. But no child, at least under the age of at least about 14, should not be listening to what I'm about to say. Again, you're going to hear a lot of explicit words, a lot of vulgar words, and some words that should not be said. If you are listening to headphones, it would be more preferable, because this past week, WWE announces another wave of releases, including Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, and Lana. This is from MSN.com from USA Today Sports. I'm going to read the article from Jordan Mendoza, and then we shall begin from there. Again, you have been warned. Let us begin. Nearly 2 months after releasing 9 superstars, WWE announced a new surprising wave of releases that includes some of the company's top names. The 6 performers released were Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Lana, Ruby Riott, Murphy, and Santana Garrett. Most of the talent released comes as a shock, since most of them were just competing for titles or making their way back to the main roster. Strowman had just competed for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania Backlash on May 16th. He was the Universal Champion in 2020, won numerous other titles, and his Monster Among Men moniker made him one of the biggest stars in his 8 years with the company. Black was set up to return to SmackDown after months away from TV. He appeared to begin a feud with Big E on May 21st, and the former NXT Champion's departure left fans confused as to what happened. Please make sure Kay Murphy is doing well. Hit her up on Twitter, send your love. Hit Kay up on Twitter. No, let me say it. Hit Kay up on Twitter, send their love. My apologies to Kay. And make sure Kay is doing well. We shall continue on. Again, Kay, my apologies. Lana had formed a tag team alongside Naomi in recent months, and the duo even competed 2 days ago on Raw. Now, mind you, I'm reading this on Friday, so 4 days ago, technically. I'm recording this on a Friday, just in case y'all didn't know. She never won any titles during her time with the company, but Naomi had spoke highly of her training in a recent interview, saying there is no one in our division who works and is more driven than her. End quote. Her husband Miro is currently a performer at AEW. The release of Riott comes less than 1 week after she competed alongside her tag team partner Liv Morgan for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Riot and Morgan have been one of the most popular women tag teams as the Riot Squad since the reunion last August. Murphy had seen his TV diminish after his storyline with Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio fizzled out, last being seen in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal before WrestleMania 37. Garrett had signed a contract in 2019 and last appeared in the Women's Royal Rumble match in January. WWE has made cuts all across the company since WrestleMania 37, citing budget constraints in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Today's episode is titled Learning Japanese with Mr. YOP himself for a reason. Prior to the releases of these six individuals, John Laurinaitis, a.k.a. Dumbfuck People Power, sent out a text to the entire roster stating that budget cuts were the reason for their releases. That is 100% cap. And y'all know it. And if you don't know it, you haven't been checking out the actual right information. Where the fuck do I begin? Now, mind you, I have a storm right behind me, because we are getting a hell of a rainstorm right now with thunder. So if you hear any loud bangs or loud rain, my apologies, I can't do nothing about that. But I believe it's the perfect backdrop for how I'm feeling and exactly how much I'm about to go in on the WWE. Again, to the powers that be at WrestleLetic Radio, I do not know how long this will go. So, just have to deal with it. Let us begin with the two least shocking releases, that being Lana and Santana Garrett. Lana, for all of her efforts, was honestly, in my true honest opinion, never really meant to be in the ring. She was a better manager than she was a wrestler. That's not to say she didn't put her full effort into it. There have been videos of her training with Natalya, getting better, learning new moves, and tried her damnedest, but, you know, she was a better manager than she was a wrestler, and we all knew that. I give her credit, though. I give her kudos for putting in the effort to get better, but in my honest opinion, she was never meant to truly be a wrestler. She was is a former actress who had the Russian accent down to a T. She was a better manager than she would ever be a wrestler. Again, I give her kudos for actually putting in the work to be an in-ring talent, but to me personally, just didn't really translate all that well. So, understandably, she got the boo. And would I be surprised if she were to show up on AEW with her husband Miro? Not in the slightest. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Honestly, I'm looking forward to it if that's the case. If she decides to do something else, so be it. But Lana, as an in-ring talent, never really translated well with the fans. Sure, Lana is the best. Lana's number one, as the chant went. But overall, didn't work out for her too well. And unfortunately, she got the boo. Santana Garrett was also one that was not as shocking to me when I heard the announcement that she got let go by the WWE. But a simple fact that she wasn't really used all that much in NXT at all. It's okay, Marley. I know, you don't like thunder. So, it's not as shocking to me that she also got the boot. But the fucked up thing was, when I heard this news, when I was listening to Solid Monster last night, was the news of she was actually supposed to make her debut on SmackDown. And then I got really fucking pissed off. So, you were going to have Santina Garrett have her debut on the Blue Brand. And then, game over. Release her before she makes her debut. Basically, got the Vanessa Bourne treatment. Vanessa Bourne was supposed to be making her debut on Monday Night Raw. 2 months ago, she gets the boot. That's when I got pissed off about Santina Garrett. You were getting her primed and ready to make her debut on the main roster, and then you give her the boot. But those two are personally the least shocking to me. Santina Garrett will be perfectly fine. She will land in an organization. I would say my best guess, AEW or Impact, would most definitely have no problem trying to sign her 100%. She would be a great addition to either the women's division on AEW or the Knockouts division over on Impact. I personally would think AEW acquiring her services would be the best move, given the fact that we're now going into a new era in the women's division with Britt Baker as now the current reigning and defending AEW Women's World Champion. She is heel. Santana's a babyface. Do the math. Now let's turn the fuck up. Murphy. Oh, Murphy. That one hurt. This is a man who had literally the, as Solomon Monster had put it, the worst name you could be given in a wrestling name. Former NXT tag team champion with Wesley Blake. If you add Alexa Bliss in there, trio. A solid trio at that. Breaks away from the group, goes out on his own, makes waves in the Cruiserweight division. Cruiserweight champion, banger matches, Aleister Black, that series, Money, Cesaro, Seth Rollins, Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, that series, that feud. Propelled Murphy. He was a cornerstone of the Cruiserweight division. A cornerstone of the Cruiserweight division. I'm not saying he was world champion material. But I'm saying he could be a solid mid-card, upper mid-card talent. Who had the storyline with the Mysterios as being the sidekick, if you will, for Seth Rollins. Turns face. Shows the Mysterios that he's truly there for his daughter. For Rey's daughter. Gets the seal of approval, and then nothing happens after that. Nothing. Tried to keep the storyline going as to why he broke up with Aaliyah, and WWE forced him to take it down. So the story goes. I guess they didn't want to have Murphy be original in the company. So he took it down. Then tried to go back to Seth Rollins and pretty much told him to fuck off. And that was pretty much the last we saw of him in WWE. Besides the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which basically is a consolation prize to, we couldn't put you on WrestleMania, so you can go fuck off in this little match here. given the fact that NXT had the Cruiserweight division, why, oh fucking why, could we not send Murphy back down? Why? He would have been a proper staple in NXT's Cruiserweight division. A nice opponent for Kushida. Could have been a cornerstone again in the division. Matches with Santos Escobar, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Jake Atlas, Kushida. You could build that entire division around him. But no, we're good. He gets the boot. Murphy will be fine. Given the matches that he's actually had in his career, he will definitely land somewhere. Impact, I think, personally, would be a solid landing spot for him. AEW, maybe, but I think this man honestly can go anywhere. Ring of Honor, Impact, AEW, New Japan, fight for that junior heavyweight championship. They're going to need talent. MLW, if we're just strictly talking to big boys, no, I wouldn't consider MLW a big boy, but, you know, they're working with a lot of companies. Hi, Marley. I'm warming it up. I'm not even done yet, not by a long shot. It's just a simple fact that when you have a guy like Murphy, who could have been a major player in at least the mid-card, you know, could have moved them over to Raw. They need help at the mid-card. United States Championship matches, that would have been lit. You know what I mean? You know, if you were utilizing him over on SmackDown, I guarantee you Raw would need his service a lot fucking more. Given the fact that your show had a 1.4 fucking 2, you bitches. Please. Top 5 worst Raw of all time. Any wonder why no one watches your show? Because you do the same damn rematches over and over the fuck again like a bunch of idiots. You pussies for that. Give me something new. And you'll wonder why you dumb fucks don't pop good ratings anymore. I haven't watched your show in over 2 years for that reason alone. Miss me with that garbage. Ruby Riott. Russell Critic put out a tweet upon her release. Quote, I can't believe how much WWE slept on Ruby Riott. It always felt like she had the potential to break into the main event. WWE never gave her that chance, end quote. And that was the quintessential tweet for Ruby Riott. Now, I'm sure some of y'all will probably think, Ruby Riott, who cares? I do. Hi. Join me, Riott. Marley says hello to everyone, by the way. She is going to try to be my peace for the hatred I'm going to spew. Now, let's look at the women's landscape for a moment in terms of main roster, because we already have Lana and Santana Garrett out of the way. Ruby Riott. What a missed opportunity WWE had with her. These last three, Riott, Black, Strowman. These three pissed me off the most. Let's start with Ruby Riott. Ruby Riott had so much potential. They had a diamond in the rough on their hands and they didn't even know it. When you look at the women's tag team division as a whole, right? Everyone upon her release, were singing her praises. She was very well-liked in the locker room by pretty much everybody. I saw tweets from Carmella, Sasha, you know, Liv, of course. That was a tag team partner in crime. Sarah Logan, I saw hers on Instagram. She was very well liked in the women's division, in terms of the women's locker room. She was very well liked. And I always felt that if there was one talent that could really break into that upper echelon of the women's division, she had all of it. She had it all. She was a darling in the indies, came into NXT, showed her ass off. Matches with Sonya Deville. I believe she had a match with Asuka at one point. A very, very over name in NXT. Gets brought up to the main roster. Starts the Riot Squad with Liv and Sarah. That kind of went somewhere, but not as far as they could have taken it. But Ruby Riott was literally a blue chip talent in waiting. If you just decided to give her the opportunity to do it. All the potential in the world. I could have seen her in matches with Sasha for title. Becky, Bayley, Charlotte she competed against, and she looked good. I could have seen her with Bianca, Rhea, Asuka. She could have been a major threat to either division's championship. Now, focus more on terms of the women's tag team division, right? Following these releases, you now only have 7 women on SmackDown actively. I believe the same amount, if not less, on Raw. What? Baszler, Nia, Rhea, Asuka, Charlotte, Eva Marie impending. Naomi. 7. Man. 7 women does not a division make, my friends. And you wonder why I call NXT the best women's division in the fucking world. Ruby Riott had so much potential. And yet WWE did nothing with her in her singles run. Except what? Take pins for Ronda Rousey? That's what we're doing here? Had all the potential in the world to be a women's tag team champion if you decided to actually do your goddamn job. I know, Marley, I know. I'm giving you pets. But no. So now, basically, you get rid of 2/3 of the Riot Squad. You're going to have Liv Morgan just wallow there in obscurity. You really think Liv Morgan's going to get a push? No. You could have given all the opportunity to give the Riot Squad a chance at the Women's Tag Team Championships and you didn't even freaking bother. You didn't fucking bother. Well, we're going to give the titles to freaking Natalya and Tamina? Makeshift tag team. No bueno over here, man. That's some pussy shit. That's creative garbage. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, but it's Tamina's first championship. You think I give a shit? Granted, she's been in the company 11 years. Congratulations. But miss me with that bullshit. You have the opportunity to actually build a women's tag team division and have the Riot Squad had a run with the championships. What do we do? Nothing. They were an actual fucking tag team. An actual team. In essence, you only had two. And now they're both done. Come here. What up? Good girl. You had two actual tag teams. You could have built the division around. No, wait, no. Three. I'm sorry. Flex appeal. But no, we've basically made the freaking division irrelevant. While we out here having Reginald beating Shayna freaking Baszler. A former NXT Women's Champion. Losing to Reginald. Please. Do y'all even care about your women's division? I really don't think you do. At this point, with the women that they have on Raw and SmackDown, it's either one or two things is going to happen. One, nothing. Or two, merge the damn divisions together. Which is what you should have fucking done in the beginning. Any person with common fucking sense would have merged those two divisions together and made something of it. That way, you can have actual championship feud and tag team championship feud. What a goddamn concept! I don't care what anyone says about creative. Because if creative actually knew what the fuck they were doing, they would have done that already. They would have pitched that idea to Vince. Oh wait, my bad. Vince would have told him to fuck off. Braun Strowman. Excuse me. Wrestling Travel put out a tweet same day. Quote, Braun Strowman beat Goldberg at last year's WrestleMania to become Universal Champion. I'll explain that. He fought and beat Shane McMahon in a steel cage match at this year's Mania and was in a double WWE title match on pay-per-view last month. What happened? For those of you who don't know, I actually learned this last night on Solomonster as he was talking about the releases. Braun Strowman credits Mark Henry as the reason he got into WWE in the first place. Strowman was a powerlifter. Mark Henry was too back in the day. Mark Henry put in a good word for Strowman, got brought into NXT. He was greener than grass. But he's a big man. Why not? This man, over the years, went from green as grass to becoming one of the biggest names, technically. To some, y'all probably would be like, eh. To one of the biggest names up to the point of at least 2017. Part, of course, the Wyatt family stable. Went out on his own. And then we get to 2017. Summer of 2017. In my honest opinion, I've stated this at point many times before, if you've been a regular listener of this podcast, the worst booked summer in the history of the company. At the time, Brock Lesnar was the Universal Champion. And, of course, the rumors were out that Lesnar was going to be leaving the company to go back to the UFC. Now, that was the rumor at the time. Rumor ended up not being true because he decided to keep the championship. I digress. We had that great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar. The time was right for Lesnar to drop the title. If there was any time to do it, it was Samoa Joe taking that championship. They didn't pull the trigger. We went to SummerSlam, had the Fatal 4-Way match, Reigns, Samoa Joe, Strowman, Lesnar. For sure, we would have dropped the title then. We didn't. We then get to No Mercy in September of 2017. Strowman was at his most over at this very point. There were two people in the company at the time that were super over. Strowman and Seth Rollins with the Intercontinental Championship run. I said it even back when I first started the podcast. That was one of their worst booking opportunities, period. What a missed booking opportunity that was. And they didn't pull the trigger. Lesnar retained that championship that night. That was the one opportunity. And I even said it then, a couple years ago. What was the harm in having Strowman hold the championship until the Royal Rumble? It was complete and utter bullshit. At that point, a lot of people weren't really fucking with Lesnar. To this day, when I was doing the Wrestling With Issues podcast, Kevin can attest to this. To this day, I still believe in my heart of hearts that Samoa Joe or Braun Strowman should have taken that championship from Brock Lesnar. Lesnar had so much heat from the fans. They wanted him to lose that title. Strowman was at his most over at that very goddamn point. And you don't pull the damn fucking trigger. Pussy shit. Bitch made. Garbage. Mental fucking incompetence. A shame. An absolute shame. Three years later. The only reason Braun Strowman won the Universal Championship at WrestleMania was because Roman Reigns didn't want to do it. Strowman was the backup. Strowman was the Brian Hoyer. Man, I'm going to piss off a lot of Patriots fans with that. And also to Miss YLP herself, I am so sorry, but it had to be used. Hell, I'm going to make it actually worse. He was the Jarrett Stidham. He was Jarrett fucking Stidham. He wins his Universal Championship in front of no one. Had his feud with Bray Wyatt, swamp fight and all. Defending it in a 2-on-1 handicap match. And then losing it at Payback this past August to Roman Reigns. That was his run with the championship, ladies and gentlemen. A 2-on-1 handicap match, a feud with Bray Wyatt, and ultimately losing it to a returning Roman Reigns. And you beat Goldberg to do it. Please. If I were Braun Strowman, I would be pissed off at that run. I would be absolutely fucking pissed. I would have been seething back in 2017. And wondering why didn't they want me to have that run? There was no harm in Braun Strowman winning the Universal Championship back in 2017. Matter of fact, he fucking deserved it. As I said, there was no harm in having the man having a four-month reign with that title until losing it to freaking Lesnar at Royal Rumble 2018. No harm! No harm whatsoever. And now his legacy is a one-time Universal Champion with an absolute pussified shit run. And that 2-on-1 handicap match, by the way, Miz and John Morrison. Please. I'd be more disappointed in the company for booking me like garbage as a champion. Winning the title in front of absolutely no one. Defending the championship in front of absolutely no one. Having the absolute weird-ass swamp fight. I don't think many people cared. Because by that time, it was already too late. By that time, Strowman ain't hot. He was a backup plan. Think about that. Strowman was a backup plan. Because the pandemic had started. And Reigns was just about to have twins with his wife. And he's also immunocompromised with leukemia. Reigns didn't want to take the chance. In comes Strowman. His legacy as a one-time champion was that he was a backup plan. That won the championship 3 years too late. Which leads me to Aleister Black. When we found out on Wednesday, when I put that tweet from Sean Rossap in the group chat, or I think it was either Jermaine, Wade, Fritz, or myself. I'm not sure. I don't remember which. It might have been me. And then I put another one from Ryan Satin. We had a good laugh. Ricky gave me a good laugh about that. And then I believe it was Jermaine that stated WWE had confirmed all six. The one person in our group chat that was as devastated as I was Kay Murphy. Aleister Black. I have stated in multiple occasions he was world champion material. I'm gonna let you guys know this right now. In July's Money in the Bank pay per view, if Aleister Black was in that match, I had him winning. I had him as a true Mr. Money in the Bank. I had him as the one to beat Roman. Because no one was gonna do it this summer. I had no one winning it throughout the entirety of the remainder of the year. Roman Reigns is just too hot right now to have him drop the championship. He could hold that title all the way to WrestleMania 38, and I would be perfectly fine with it. But I believe Aleister Black should have been the one to take that title off of him if no one else was primed and ready. Because you had a championship turn in waiting. Aleister Black. Was a darling in NXT. an absolute darling in NXT. 100%. And he was just a different kind of character. Tommy End, man. Tommy fucking End. A darling in the indies. Competed in Progress in their early stages. Competed for the Progress World Championship multiple times. A fan favorite in Europe. Had his first major feud with Velveteen Dream over the fact that Black would not say his name. Had a banger of a match at TakeOver. Finally acknowledged him. You may now live in infamy, Velveteen Dream. And from that moment on, Aleister Black was just that dude. The entrance, the music. NXT fans loved him. I loved Aleister Black. He seemingly could not miss in terms of matches. The Black Mass finisher, out of nowhere, anytime he felt like. Feuds with Ciampa. Matches with Andrade. Gargano. You put that man in across the ring from anybody and you were certified a possible match of the night candidate. Even early on in his NXT run. Goes into the main roster. And just like the sad old tale is old as time, Triple H gives them a blue chipper in Aleister Black. Matter of fact, here's what I'm going to do. Because we're already gone 42 minutes. I had news. But I'm not done yet. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to break. We're going to do some things. When we come back, I'll give you my remainder of my thoughts on Aleister Black. And then we're going to talk about as to possibly why WWE has made the so-called budget cuts. We'll be right back.
What is up, peeps? This is Mr. Fretz here to tell you about my podcast, Fretzelmania, every Saturday on the Wrestle Addict radio feed, where I review the best and worst in modern and retro pro wrestling. So join me as I keep wrestling real right here on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
And we are back. Just in case you didn't know, this is episode 308 of the YLP podcast, and I was planning on giving y'all news today, but I'm not done yet. So, if you were expecting news, I'll talk about it at the end of today's show, what I'm going to do with the remainder of the news that I have for this week. Aleister Black, we shall continue on. As I ended the last segment, Aleister Black was a darling in NXT. They bring him to the main roster, and I've heard creative mismanagement from JD from NY206, creative failure, I believe was the term. I could be wrong about what Solomon Monster said. I call it a complete and utter creative abomination. That was Aleister Black on the main roster. WWE didn't know what to do with Aleister Black. NXT did, because they created Aleister Black. But when he was brought up to the main roster, WWE didn't know what to do with him. Not by a long shot. And it showed. Upon his arrival, he received hella fanfare. Much to my delight. We knew him. We watched him on NXT. He was putting on bangers. It's not to say he didn't have his good matches, though. Cesaro? Please. Certified banger every single time they met. Every single time. He had some good performances. Over time, WWE showed that they didn't know what to do with him. They didn't understand the gimmick. They didn't get it. They didn't understand Aleister Black the way we did. And that's what really pisses me off. What makes it even more of a pain in the ass before I even get into the other, as more into it, is the fact that his wife, Thea Trinidad, known as Zelina Vega in WWE, was rumored to be brought back into WWE. Working with The Rock's daughter, Simone. So let me fucking get this straight. Zelina Vega was going to be coming back into the WWE. Making her return, so the story goes. And this is just my honest opinion about this. And while Aleister Black was, I believe, on Raw when this happened, no, he wasn't even doing anything. They let go of Zelina Vega. Then they decide to bring her back months later. Aleister Black gets released. Spite? I think so. I really do think so. You had this man in bullshit, absolute nothing, garbage booking. You had him on SmackDown, working with the Mysterios and the Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio feud. Gets Zay poked out. Goes over to Raw looking like a goddamn pirate. You do nothing. Nothing with him there. Starts again his heel gimmick. You had the motherfucker gone for months. 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, from what Solomon Search stated. Doing nothing. Then when you bring him back, you got nothing for him. Sitting in fucking catering. Enjoying Titus O'Neil's cooking. Apparently the mashed potatoes are really goddamn good. All of a sudden, you start seeing these vignettes. The so-called Dark Father character from Aleister Black. And they were top-notch vignettes, promos. Weeks of these vignettes and promos occurred. We then got the return of Aleister Black 2 weeks ago. Fatal four-way match for the Intercontinental Championship. He interferes on Big E. Cost Big E the Intercontinental Championship and Apollo Crews retains. All of a sudden, he's gone. 2 days before, according to Black himself, the feud between Big E and Aleister Black was truly supposed to begin. I got the article from Bleacher Report right here. We're going to go through it, and I'm going to probably rant more and say more curse words. Unfortunately, to the chagrin of my mother, of Mama Wild P, from Tyler Conway. Aleister Black discussed his surprising release from WWE in a Twitch session Wednesday, expressing creative frustration from his time on the main roster, but largely staying positive regarding his time with the company. Quote, "I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I'm sure there will be dark days and bad days. It's all up and down. I got told it was budget cuts. I'll wait on that. Whether it is or not, it doesn't matter. I had a great time and had a phenomenal 4 or 5 years. I'm really thankful WWE has done for me. I was given a platform, even in a limited amount. I was able to give you parts of my character." Of course, we know the six people that were released. Strowman, Riott, Lana, Murphy, Santana Garrett, Black. As a pair of ongoing budget cuts within the company. Several notable performers have been released from the WWE contracts this year, along with cuts in NXT and people in behind-the-scenes roles, as the company seeks to maximize its profitability. Black stands out as among the most surprising names who have been given their release, in particular because he was in the infancy of a new storyline on SmackDown. He released a series of vignettes over the course of a month before attacking Big E on May 21st, ostensibly as to set up a feud between the two. According to Black, he was not giving any details on what the feud would entail, but was excited about his Black Father gimmick. He said the gimmick was largely his creation and that he had the support of Vince McMahon. Quote, "I was excited for the Dark Father stuff. It was mostly created by myself. I wrote a lot of the content. Slowly but surely, it would unfold into more understanding of what I was talking about. It wasn't as cryptic as it was before, which was not my choice. Being on the main roster and all my conversations with Vince, he was always positive. I had a good relationship with Vince. I always told him how I felt, and he respected that about me. He praised me on my creativity and manners of respect while being honest about how they felt. You don't know why things ended why they did, but Vince always was always high on me. We just couldn't nail down what Aleister was on the main roster compared to NXT. Because they didn't know what the fuck to do with you! They didn't! They didn't understand the gimmick! They've done this plenty of times. Over and over and over and over again. For years. Triple H would create these wonderful characters to bring over to the main roster. And what does Vince McMahon do? In true Vince McMahon fashion, tears him down. Makes him look like a shell of himself or herself. We continue on. Black, who wrestled as Tommy Yen on the independent circuit, signed with WWE in 2016. He instantly ascended to stardom in NXT with top-of-the-card feuds with Hideo Tommy, Velveteen Dream, and Adam Cole. In 2018, Black defeated Andrade for the NXT Championship and held the title for 102 days before losing it to Tommaso Ciampa. That level of success did not translate to Black's main roster stint as he was shuffled between Raw and SmackDown and had several attempts at a storyline aborted, seemingly with no reason. Black has a 90-day no-compete clause, but it's almost certain he'll find himself fielding offers around the wrestling world once he receives his final WWE check. If you had a so-called good relationship with Vince, praising you on your creativity, why would they let you go? They couldn't nail down what you were on the main roster compared to NXT because they didn't understand your gimmick, period. They never even cared. It was a creative abomination in and of itself. Two days before the feud between you and Big E was supposed to begin, you get cut. Let's go over this budget cut shit real quick. Okay? This was never, and this is why I entitled this episode Learning Japanese. All of that is cap. 100% unadulterated cap. Bullshit. Every time I have literally heard the Samoa Joes, Iconics, and all the other people that got let go back 2 months ago, budget cuts, cap, cap. You want to know why it's cap? They literally had the most profitable year last fucking year. But we're not talking about budget cuts. Most profitable year ever in the company's history. And you want to talk about some bullshit ass budget cuts. Miss me with that. Cap. 100% cap. I would have respected WWE more if they had simply sent him up and said, we had nothing fucking for you. And we're letting you go. Absolute cap. Kidding me? Budget cuts. Please. If I wanted to hear an absolute dog shit excuse, I'd hear it from Marley. I'd hear it from Miss YLP herself's dog, Milo. And I guarantee you both of them who are dogs could think of a better fucking excuse than budget cuts. Please, bitch. I could probably get a better excuse out of my youngest niece. Budget cuts, please. The unmitigated fucking gall of you, WWE. Nick Khan, John Laurinaitis, Kevin Dunn, Bruce Pritchard. All y'all can go fuck yourselves. Every single one of you. You're going to sell WWE, aren't you? Let's just bring that 8,000-pound elephant into the fucking room real quick, shall we? They're going to sell WWE. You don't do no budget cuts. You don't trim the fat if you're not planning on selling the damn company. That's why you're getting rid of some talent. Aleister Black is literally on day 91 and be given offers of astronomical proportions. If Tony Khan does not hit Aleister Black up on day 91, and tell him, yo, we want to bring you in. We want Tommy End in AEW. Ooh, please. Ooh. Tommy End in AEW is the probably, if anything, most likely move that can be made 3 months from now. July, August, September. Literally, we're going to look this up right now. 90 days from this past Wednesday is Tuesday, August 31st, 2001. Okay. AEW All Out takes place September 5th. Need I say more? I rest my case on that. And he's going to AEW. Honestly, he can go to AEW, ROH, Impact, New Japan. He can go anywhere that it's not WWE, and he would be an immediate made man. I'm speaking to you, Mr. Black, Tommy. I'm speaking to you right now. I want you to go wherever you go to, whoever signs you, it better be lucrative. You better have creative control, and you better show your ass. And show WWE how much they royally fucked up. Show them how much of a blue chip stock you really are. Show them what you gave to us in NXT. Show them up. Make them realize how bad they royally fucked up. Budget cuts, please. Good God. You honestly mean to tell me you're going to get rid of a talent like Aleister Black, like a Braun Strowman, like a Ruby Riott, like a Murphy? Budget cuts. Absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. It's insane. They're selling the company. I honestly, at this point, if you're not thinking about selling the company, they're selling the company. There's no freaking way. I understand, you know, there's speculation. You know, they're trimming the roster in preparation for a potential sale. But this is what Dave Meltzer had to say. I got this from sportskeeda.com. This is Dave Meltzer says, and I quote, "The question with all the cuts week after week from a company making record profits is what this is all about? It led to rumors of a company's sale. While WWE has designed a sale is imminent, remember that UFC outright lied to its employees and denied publicly a sale when they were in the process of selling. However, for such a sale, there are major companies involved and banks involved in credit, and while everyone involved would have to sign NDAs, certain things would leak out and nothing has." The budget cuts just seemed to be a way to increase profits by cutting talent Vince McMahon decided he had no use for any longer. Keep in mind that there will be expenses added in on going on the road. While the Thunderdome setup costs considerably more than doing arena tapings, there is now going to be travel expenses, house shows, which have not been profitable prior to pandemic, and other increased costs. So to keep the profits at the level they've been and not hurt the stock price, cutting talent was the decision. I mean, you got to remember, they were giving these people lucrative deals. Braun Strowman was understandable because they gave that man $1 million per year. I get that. I get that. I honestly do get that. You got me there. But you did it to ensure none of the talent were going to AEW. So in essence, if you think about it, you shoot yourself in the foot. Think of the Good Brothers. Good Brothers got a nice little contract, 5-year deal. It's not going to AEW. Sign that deal. Weren't even there for more than a year. FTR pretty much peaced out immediately. FTR peaced out. They wanted none of it. They didn't want no part of that. They knew better. Had all these lucrative deals. Millions upon millions of dollars handed out. Now since you're ready to get back on the road, you gotta start trimming the fat. Now. Because they made a good amount of coin. Past what, 18 months? If you're going to sell the company, just do it. I'm not saying you're going to do it now, because you're probably not going to. But you're having record profits. You're probably going to have record profits in 2021, just like you did in 2020. Because you know the fans are going to be coming back. You know they're going to be coming back in droves. So that's more money. I hope every single one of them does well for themselves. Even Lana. I know a lot of people, I know I don't really give Lana a lot of credit, but she was like I said, better manager than a wrestler. If she decides to go to AEW to work with her husband, so be it. Santana Garrett is going to be fine. She'll be fine. 100%. Without question, Santana Garrett will be perfectly fine. Murphy, perfectly fine. Ruby Riott, I hope you show up and show out. I hope you show WWE exactly what they missed out on. Braun, same with you. You went from literal green as grass to one of the best big men in the game right now. According to some. It's a true shame that of all people, Aleister Black had to get released. There's a ton of people on Twitter that were probably bummed out the most, that were seriously shocked. Aleister Black, of all people, got released. And now that's what? 16 names gone from the company in a span of 3 months. Talent like Samoa Joe, like the Iconics, like Aleister Black, Braun Strowman, Murphy, Ruby Riott. Names that honestly could have really helped your company are now going to go to greener pastures. The second that non-compete clause ends on August 31st, I guarantee you every major promotion in North America and around the world are going to be looking to get their services. I hope Samoa Joe goes to Impact. Because I know he's got a lot left in the tank. I really do. I hope Aleister Black goes to AEW and lights it up and becomes a major player in the company. I hope Ruby Riott goes to either AEW or Impact and gives that division an entire boost that it needs. Whether she is Heidi Lovelace or another name, I hope she lights it up with Britt Baker. I hope she lights it up with Thunder Rosa. Hikaru Shida. Tay Conti, Rosemary, Deonna Purrazzo, Fire and Flava if she decides to go tag team, Jordynne Grace, Rachel Ellery, Kiera Hogan. Oh, wait, no. That's Fire and Flava. Soo Young. Same with Santana Garrett. I hope the Iconics actually do quite well outside of WWE. I want them all to succeed. None of them will, and that's understandable. But there are a few people out from the releases recently. I want to see them just flourish. I want them all to do so well that WWE looks back on these decisions that they made and think about how much they really missed out on these talents. I hope another company treats them the way that they were treated in NXT. Like Samoa Joe and Aleister Black were. Like the Iconics were. And it just pisses me off that Braun Strowman was literally in a WWE Championship matchup last month. Sure, took the pin. He faced a McMahon at WrestleMania. And you still release him. I want to see them all just literally shit all over WWE. I know they won't because I know they, you know, will have some sort of respect. But respect is earned. And with every release that I see of some names that really truly deserve to actually do some damn good things in WWE, I lose respect for them. SmackDown now at this very moment has 22 male wrestlers, 7 female wrestlers active on their roster at this very moment. Raw, I could care less. I don't know what their numbers are, nor do I give a shit. But you mean to absolutely tell me that you're going to somehow, on every Friday night, somehow, some way, have a main event, a mid-card, a tag team division, and a strong women's division with 22 men and 7 women. Good fucking luck. Bruce Pritchard, I wish you all the best, my dude. You're going into your summer. 22 males, 7 females on one particular brand. I understand. I know there's going to be call-ups. I get that. But we're not talking about the call-ups right now. We're literally talking about who you have right now. 22 males, 7 females. Barely a tag team division to hold together. And if you're just counting tag teams, not makeshift, regular tag teams. Mysterios, Usos, Street Profits. Over on Raw, War Raiders. And that's all I got because I don't honestly remember. I don't know who the hell is in it. New Day. Who the fuck else you got? Who the hell else do you fucking have? You have one choice. You have to make from here on out. Merge the tag team and women's divisions. You have no choice. If you're going to have a women's championship scene and a tag team championship soon. With seven ladies per freaking division, it ain't going to fucking work. My booking services are needed, are here anytime you need it. I'd be happy to lend my services for a wonderful price. I'll give you my direct deposit number right now if you're down. WWE is going into the summer in a very interesting position. A very, very interesting position. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I have absolutely no idea what the plan is. Your call-ups better be fire. Your call-ups better be on point. And when you bring them up, have a plan. Because apparently Santana Garrett was supposed to be planning to go on a SmackDown. Nothing now. She's gone. Ruby Riott, didn't really do much with her. Or the Riott Squad in general. She's gone. Aleister Black was supposed to start a feud with Big E tonight. Or yesterday, since you're listening to this podcast on Saturday. Gone. You just had Braun Strowman in a WWE Championship match. Gone. Now what? What's your next move? What are you going to do? What do you got? Because now, you got to run with these decisions that you make. You're going into the summer. You're about to go on tour with what you got right now. I guarantee it's only a matter of time before you actually start letting go of Ricochet. I wouldn't be surprised if Ali gets cut. Shelton Benjamin. Cedric Alexander. Talent you're not really utilizing. You got Ali and Jeff Hardy having bangers on main event. Please. You're about to have Jinder Mahal have a run. I wish you well, WWE, in your future endeavors. And good luck. Because I honestly think you're going to fucking need it. It's going to be a hot summer. And I hope you're in for the long run. I don't know what your plans for SummerSlam are, but they better be good. Oh, they better be good. Because you've messed up a lot of storylines. You got two very small divisions to worry about. Very minuscule divisions to worry about in the women's and the tag teams on both brands. What you gonna do, brother? What the hell are you gonna fucking do? Safe to say, this may be a blessing in disguise for the six that were released. I honestly believe that. 100%. And no one can tell me otherwise. They're going to thrive outside of the company. I know it. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it in the air. I feel the juju just circulating around me. I hope they all make WWE look like idiots. Because they deserve it. Every single one of them. For all the talent they've cut in the last 3 months, I hope a good portion of them really make WWE think twice about the decisions that they made. Creative mismanagement. Overpaying just to keep them away from a rival. I hope it comes back to bite them in the ass. Because they deserve it. And that's not Mr. YLP himself talking. This is Zach talking to you. They deserve it. They deserve all the shit ratings. And you got to think, they're about to go on tour. They're about to go on tour. And there's news of certain talent worried about going on tour. Yeah, because the fans may not respond to you the way you think they're going to, because you had piped in, you know, boos and chants and all this. Now you got to deal with the live fans, and you got your roster worried. It's going to be a rude fucking awakening if you're going to try to push a certain talent and the fans just reject them. Then what? It's going to be a long summer for y'all, WWE. I hope you're ready. I really do hope you're ready for this. Because if this doesn't go the way you want it to, man, y'all in some trouble. And then come September, when all, you know, August, September, when all these, you know, talent that you release get on the, you know, get back on their work, and they get, and they start getting signed to companies outside of WWE, and they, you know, they get brought in, and what happens if by the end of the year, they start thriving? What if Aleister Black starts becoming a main event player? What if Braun Strowman gets picked up by an Impact or an ROH and he becomes a major player? What if Ruby Riott starts becoming a contender for the AEW Women's World Championship or the Impact Knockouts Championship? What if the Iconics just come into, you know, Ring of Honor and start having a feud with Allure? Or start running roughshod over AEW. Or Impact, for that matter. Or, since the Forbidden Door is open, both! That's going to be the real deal. And if WWE is still booking Raw like garbage, if they're still giving you mediocre pay-per-views, then what? WWE, for the past few years, has been speaking Japanese. Some of y'all may not think that, but I do. A lot of Japanese going around in WWE. And come this summer, either they figure it the fuck out, or they're going to be in a world of hurt. It's going to be bad if the people they release thrive and look better and are booked better than they were in WWE. That's honestly facts. Either way, of course, we wish them well in their future endeavors, whatever they may be, once their non-compete clause ends. We got a couple months before that happens. And when it does, may the games begin. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will conclude episode 308 of the YLP podcast. If you want to find me on my social media, I can be found on Twitter at YL Perspective, on Instagram, at Young_Lions_Perspective over on Facebook, at Young Lions Perspective, all one word, or you can simply search for Young Lions Perspective Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, opinions, or anything of the matter, hit me up at an email at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. I want to know what you think. I want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what you're thinking about these releases. What you're thinking about the speculation of WWE possibly selling the company. And who do you think they're going to sell it to? I want to know your opinion about all of these releases, not just the six that happened on Wednesday. All of them. I want to know what's on your mind. I really want to know. You can hit me up with a voice message over on anchor.fm/YoungLionsPerspective or anchor.fm/WrestleAddictRadio. Leave a comment over on ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com. You can find us, of course, on all different platforms: Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Player FM, Podbean, and shout out to the Podbean gang as always. CastBox FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher Radio, and of course that good old Spotify fam. Again, my apologies for not giving you news this week, but I felt like this needed to be addressed. For those of you who do have Patreon, I will more than likely be doing the remaining news of the week over there. If you want to sign up, you could go over to patreon.com/ Wrestle Addict Radio, $5 a month, 17 cents a day gets you all this kind of access. And I will be putting the remaining news that I had. If you want to know what I'm going to be talking about, I got news. Alexander Wolf commenting on Velveteen Dream's controversy. Shayna Baszler on intergender wrestling. Scorpio Sky on why he stepped away from SCU. And Billy Corgan believing that if companies work together, they can take on WWE. With the quote, you can bring them to a knee. That's what I'm going to be doing, more than likely coming out this weekend on Patreon. So if you want to sign up over there, patreon.com/WrestleAddictRadio. Also, it is Pride Month, and here in the war realm, we do celebrate Pride Month. You can head over to wrestle-addict-radio.creator-spring.com. Words are hard nowadays. And you can check out all the Pride merch that we have over there. If you want to go over to my Spring store, you can check me out over there. young-lions-perspective.creator-spring.com. I have four separate Golden Lion Pride shirts, two tank tops, the flowy tank top for the ladies, regular tank top for the fellas, and t-shirts for men and women. You can check out all over there. Get you some Pride merch. You know what I'm saying? We here. We are very diverse. And we support the LGBTQ community. All right? Other than that, that is episode 308 of the YLP podcast. Again, my apologies for not having news. Well, I have news, but I felt like this really needed to be addressed. And I've been mulling it over all week. Whether I wanted to do just a short rant or just a full-on episode. And I felt this would be the best way to do it. And to get it all off my chest at once and let you know how I felt. It's rare I do these kinds of episodes. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you feel the same way I do in terms of feeling for the six that were released. I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for episode 309 of the YLP podcast. See ya!
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.